Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and I'm with you again today. Thank you for joining us. And some time ago, as I started my radio programs, I used to say this: hello to all God's precious people out there in radio land. This is Sylvia Pierce on The Liberating Secret. So that was always fun for me to do. And the reason I said hello to all God's precious people is because you are God's precious lambs. We all are lambs. He's the great shepherd and we're the lamb. So you're a precious lamb. And so, and God has told us ministers and we're all ministers in a way, because even not all of us can teach the Bible or share on TV or whatever, but anywhere you are, you're a minister. Somebody said, my good friend, Fran Giles, lives in Hilton Head, South Carolina, said that everybody thinks only a minister or a missionary is somebody that runs off to Africa. And she said, God showed me that my Africa is anybody that lives, that's in my face. So basically, we're all ministers. But this is what we tend to do, is minister truth to God's precious people. That's what this is. And where do we get this truth? We get it right out of the Bible. And that's exactly what we're teaching. We're now, I think, in the sixth lesson we're doing on Christ Our Life, scripture ministry, scriptural basis. So this is what we're teaching, and we're on the sixth lesson. And today we're going to talk about, we've been talking, last time I talked about fixation, God being fixed and forever being a sacrificial lamb. And today we're going to talk about Satan also is fixed, and his fixation is being a self-centered and for himself. So he cannot be anything but self-centered and for himself. And he is fixed in that. And he is fixed in being a liar, fixed in being a liar. Just like God is fixed forever in being the truth, Satan is fixed in being a liar. Now, what fixed him? He had a fatal spirit choice. And he said, and we're going to read these places in the Old Testament that talk about Satan, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, in case you have your Bibles, just check these scriptures out. So we're going to start with Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28 talks about Satan in his unfallen state. Isaiah 14 talks about when he made that final choice, because we said last time that you're fixed, really, by your choice, by your spirit choice. So he made a final choice within himself: I will be like the Most High God. I'm going to take God's place. I'm going to usurp God, and I'm going to be God. And of course, he's a created being. So creation was created to contain and express the Creator. And he says, I'm not going to contain the Creator. I want to be the Creator. So that's where the big independent I came from. And where the big independent I, that I'm not going to depend on any because I'm going to be it, it permeates the whole earth, because that's Satan's mentality. I'm going to do it, not God. So even little infants, you know, the first thing they have to kind of get a hold of to be a person at all is to think, I can do it, Mom. I can do it. I can feed myself. I can talk. I can walk, you see. So we're fallen creatures. We're even from as babies, all we know is that we're drawing from our own humanity to live the life. You see, that's why we all have to be born again. People say, oh, how could a little bitty baby have Satan in him? Well, we have a satanic nature. So it's not like we've got demonic, we're, you know, indwelt by demonic spirits that just absolutely, we have a nature that's satanic, which is self for self for self. And we can be fixed in that nature. We can love it so much and love ourselves so much and trust ourselves so much that it would send us to hell. So the only reason a person really goes to hell is because they refuse to take the provision that God has provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason that people go to hell. It's not for their sins, because the ultimate sin is unbelief, that we will not believe God's record that Jesus Christ has done it all and we can trust Him and have our sins forgiven and become a brand new person in Christ. That's ultimately, their people are then fixed after they die. You see, there's always a chance to the very, very end that we receive Christ. And I say, we can't really judge whether a person even is in a coma at the very end of their life, has not, you know, God has not met them in that coma. I always say it's hard to go to hell because why do I say that? Because God is forever after us to the very end. He's the hound of heaven that hounds us. Come to me. I'll set you free. I'll forgive your sins. I'll make you whole. I'm the doorway. So come to me and you can come into the new kingdom. So even at the last breath, a person can receive Christ. And we cannot really judge that about the person that has just died. So, you know, that's really God's call. God is the judge of that. But Satan is in this life. It's rare to find somebody that's a fixed devil that is just absolutely fixed and cannot receive Christ. I mean, I would think probably, you know, Jezebel was a fixed devil. I think of Elijah. He didn't even talk with Jezebel, because you don't even talk with that spirit. When a person is fixed in being a devil, you don't even talk with them, because they're just full of lies and deceptions and seductions. And so they're too seducing to even talk to. He talked to Ahab, the king, and proclaimed what he had to proclaim to Ahab, but he never even talked to Jezebel. So that's interesting. But let's talk about Satan himself. That's what this program is about. Satan himself is forever fixed and cannot be redeemed. You know, there are some people today that say, well, you know, maybe at the end, you know, God will even redeem Satan. Well, God never promises in His Word. This is a book of promise. And He never promises that any of the cherubims or any of the fallen angels are going to be redeemed. He does not promise redemption for angelic beings. He promises redemption for human beings. But not demonic beings. He does not promise it. So forever Satan is fixed. Now, that's a different choice than what Adam made. When Adam made his fatal choice, which certainly led him to die, because he says, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. His choice was not fixed. Why was it not? Well, Satan wanted to totally replace God. He didn't want any of God. He wanted to be it all himself. Now, man didn't want to do that. Man still wanted a part of God. Come on, God, I want to walk with you. I want to have communion with you, but I still want my own way. I'm still going to rebel against you somewhat like your child. Your child doesn't want to kick you out as being a parent. They just want their own way. So a child is correctable and are redeemable, but Satan is not. Okay, so let's look at Ezekiel 28, and we're going to see the unfallen condition of Satan. It says in verse 13, "Thou hast been in Eden, in the Eden, the garden of God." And of course, we know that's the Garden of Eden. And I think the next subject we're going to talk about, or the next couple of subjects, we're going to be talking about what happened there in Genesis, but we're not going to discuss that here. Okay, so he was in Eden. We know that he came in the form of a serpent in Eden. Every precious stone was that covering. I mean, and so he was a being that was that was covered with, encrusted with precious stones. So, and it says, "And thou art an anointed cherub that covereth," cherub. So he was a cherub. He was a top angelic being. Actually, I believe that he was the top created cherub being in the universe until man in God's own image was created. And before that, see, he was created first, and he was created God's top created being. But then this is what he did. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. What was the iniquity? This is what it was. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy own beauty. So he started looking at his own beauty, his own manifestation, his own outer glow, really. And he says, thou has corrupted thy wisdom. And he thought in his heart, oh, I am so beautiful. He saw that his created form as being the beauty, as being God, as being so beautiful. And by reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that thou may behold thee. So he was enamored with himself, with his own outer manifestation, which was spiritual pride, really. So this reminds me of so many people today, that when we get the baptism of the Spirit and the Spirit starts flowing through us, we all of a sudden get so impressed with ourselves. Like, oh my goodness, look at what's happening. Look. And so we get our attention on what is manifested and away from the one who is manifesting within us. And we can, when we help people and people are helped, and people, I mean, not just the other day, a couple came for counseling for dad and I love to counsel couples, and they came, they were broken, and they were so helped. Well, that is so thrilling. That is thrilling to see people really helped and their marriage was saved, and you know, they were on the road of faith again in Christ, you see. Well, then I could start thinking, oh my goodness, look at me, look at what I can do. That's exactly what Satan started doing. Let me read you something in Luke that Jesus is reminding the disciples of the same thing. He sent out 70 disciples. They went out and this is in Luke chapter 10. And they went out and they rose. People were raised from the dead. Great things were happening. They were so, it was just so exciting. And who wouldn't, we all are exciting. And excited about it. And why wouldn't you be? God is using us. So my goodness, you can't help from being excited, that's for sure. And so they came back to Jesus and they said, oh, you won't believe what happened. I mean, people were raised from the dead. I mean, things just happened right and left. You will not believe it. And Jesus said, oh, yes, I saw Satan fall from heaven. In other words, in the spirit, he saw that they were taking down satanic strongholds as they were teaching and preaching, and as the Spirit was moving through them, and they were healing and bringing people to God and to Christ, you see. And he said, behold, I gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. So that's fabulous and wonderful. Okay, and he said, but wait a minute. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. Don't put your attention there too much, because you'll be built up in spiritual pride. Just be happy that your name is written in the book of life. That's what he says in verse 20. So I always thought that was very interesting. Well, it's spiritual pride that Satan, that's what destroyed Satan, is his spiritual pride. He was raised up because of his own beauty. I mean, the beautiful stones. He was covered with stones. He was he radiated the light of God, and he got so enamored with himself that he wanted to take God's place. Now let's go over to Isaiah 14, and I say this is where all the big independent eyes come out. This is the beginning of independent self. And by the way, that's the real problem with even our Christians, is independent self, still thinking like Satan. I'm going to really hit that strong when we get to that. But right now, let's see how Satan thought and what his fall was. It says in Isaiah 14, verse 12, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And by the way, Lucifer is his unfallen name. Satan is his fallen name. The devil is his fallen name. The deceiver is his fallen name. So he was not created fallen. He was not created an evil creation. He was created perfect in his way. We just read that in Ezekiel. Now in Isaiah, he's still called Lucifer, but how did you fall? Okay, Lucifer, the word Lucifer really means light bearer. That he bore the light. He was not the light, but he bore the light. And he gets enamored with what's manifested because he's bearing the light. And then he decides he's going to be the light himself. So instead of containing the light, he, the created form, is going to be the light, he says. You see, how is thou fallen, O Lucifer? How was thou cut down to the ground? How has thou weakened the nations, or how has that put deception over the whole world? This is what he said. This is the beginning of independent self. Now, we said God is the only independent self in the whole universe. Now, Satan is saying, no, 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 I'm going to take your place. I'm going to be an independent self. Actually, all creation is dependent, can only be dependent on the one source of the whole universe, which is God himself. So now he's saying, I'm going to be it. I'm not going to depend on you. I'm going to be independent and separate from you. I'm going to be my own God. And this is what he says. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend above heaven. I'm going to be even higher than you, God. What pride. What good Lord. Can you even imagine this spiritual pride? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to have my throne even higher than you, God. I'm going to sit on the mount of the congregation. I'm going to tell everybody what to do in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. You know what I like to call him, and I've done a chart presentation for some time, and one of my charts is called Satan, King Counterfeit. He's the counterfeit God. Now, the Bible calls him the God of this world. That's little g. He is ruling this world in a limited sense. God is the ultimate ruler of all things. But how is he ruling this world in a limited sense? Well, he was given this world to rule. And God knew that, so he created man so he could have dominion over the world and gain it back from Satan's fall. And so he created man to rule the earth, to have dominion over all the earth. And God and man, the man lost it in the fall. And so Satan regained partial dominion. So even when he tempted Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, and he said, all the kingdoms of this world are mine. Jesus didn't refute that. Jesus didn't say, you liar. Satan said, and they can be yours, basically, without going through the cross. And Jesus said, oh, get behind me, Satan, because it's for that reason I've come into the world to lay my life down. He didn't say all that, but that's what he meant. Okay, so he does have limited authority. He does. Okay, what is our place as redeemed humanity? We are to take over that. We're to take that all back. It's ours, really, now through Christ. We're in the second person of the Trinity, far above principalities and powers. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, says that we're seated with Christ above it. So we already have dominion over this earth, but we haven't taken it yet because we don't know that. And we don't operate from that. What you don't know and what you don't operate from, Satan seems to get away with everything. Well, he's a counterfeit. He's a counterfeit God, and he has told us that creation is God. Okay, let's just take apart that sentence. I will be like the Most High God. Okay, he's saying, I will, basically, the created me, has a separate will from God. I'm not going to unite myself to God. I'm going to be separate from God with a separate will. And so I'm going to usurp God and say, you're a liar, and I'm going to be the truth. And I'm going to be like the Most High God. I always say, if I had to be like somebody, I'd have to try, I'd have to strive. So basically, the first thing is, he thinks he has a separate will, and it's creation trying to be like God In order to be like God, you have to strive as hard as you can. Try, 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 try. So those are his two, that's his forte. I'm going to be my own independent God, and I'm going to strive and try as hard as I can. Hello, that's the same mentality that he's put inside of us. That's the same. That's why I say that Christians that don't know who they are have the heart of Jesus, because Jesus lives in us. We don't know how to live from that, from our heart, and we live from what the mind of the old owner has told us, because Satan is out, so we're not living from the old nature, but we're still living from his residual thoughts that still remain in our minds. They're lies, and we've got to be cleansed by having a new consciousness in Christ. Our minds have to be cleansed. And you know what? They are in Christ, and we have to know they need it. Okay? So he has trained us in thinking this. He's trained all creation, because when we fell at the fall, we took on his mind. So that's why all creation thinks that, and man thinks that. He thinks he's going to be his own God, but he has to strive in order to make it happen. Oh, I even say to Christian, think of Romans 7 when Paul says in Romans 7, the things I want to do, he's striving to be like Jesus. Now, that's a noble thought, because we certainly do want to be like God. We want to be like Jesus, but we don't know how. We're thinking we've got to strive to become something. You see, when we already have everything within. So we're always trying to strive to become what we already have. Well, Satan had God, but absolutely threw him out and decided he was going to be his own God. And the light that was in him became darkness and imploded within himself. And he became the prince and power of darkness. And he has put that darkness upon mankind. And that's where his deception has its hold, because we too believe we're independent self. He says here in Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High God. And I've, on this chart that I did, this is what I wrote. Satan was not trying to be evil. Think about it. He was the author of evil himself. So he didn't have any backlog of understanding of what evil was. He was really trying to be good, because his only frame of reference was God himself. Now, I'm not saying that to say that he didn't know what he was doing, in the sense that he was trying to take over God's place. Yes, he was trying to do that. But he wasn't trying to be evil. He was trying to be good. That's the problem of the Christian, too. He was trying to be like God. But he was trying to do it separate from God. That's our problem. He was trying to become another God. Therefore, he brought into being original sin, which is self-sufficient self, operating as an independent self. These same lies were put into Adam at the fall and passed on to us as a deadly inheritance. Now that's what we have to be cleansed from. Okay, you will never, never be a fixed person in Christ as long as you're still living from those lies, because it's true. As a man thinketh, so is he. So as long as I'm still living from the lie that Satan has imparted to our minds, and it's really a residual effect of the fall, old man is out, but it's still in our minds, it's in our consciousness, and as long as that's there, you see, I'm not going to be a fixed person. The only way that I'm going to be fixed in truth of who I am is stand by faith in the fact that Christ indwells me. He is my identity. He is my strength, my Lord, my God, my peace, my victory. And in my life, really, my whole life. And as we believe that, and as we stand in that, God forms that fixation in you. But let me end by this. God is forever fixed in being for him, being an other lover, a sacrificial lamb, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's his nature. Satan is forever fixed in being for himself, and he dreams of being an independent self. Nothing is independent from God. That's why God reigns sovereignly above Satan, and to the redeemed, Satan cannot touch you unless God permits it. He cannot touch you. He cannot, and God then will mean it for your good. So I'm going to end there. Thank you. Thank you for joining me, and we'll continue this next time. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.